It's really wonderful to be with you all, and just Ramon and I want to just say thank you for this privilege of being together with you. It's been a few years since we've had a chance to sort of be in front of the congregation, so a lot of you will be new faces for us. Probably our faces may be new for you, but we really want to thank you for this opportunity. I was here actually a little bit over a year ago with my colleague, an Ethiopian pastor who I worked with for many years. And so Jim brought us out to the new property here, and we got to see the new building. It was just a shell, no offices, or the worship center hadn't been completed yet, but everybody was excited about moving out here. And it's just a real joy for us to be able to see you here now and to see the real church in the church, inside the church. And we just really appreciate you all. We're rejoicing with you in this. Also, we know that you've been through some real challenges in this year. You've lost a family in this church, and we know that that was a real trial. We want you to know that we were praying for you and really feeling that with you, and that your testimony of love and enfolding people into this church and caring for them is known way out beyond Del Rio. And so we just want to keep encouraging you in that. When we do drive out here, we're living in Houston now, so we get on the road and you get past San Antonio and it's still a long ways out here. And I think to myself, you know, these guys really are on the mission field. They're at sort of the ends of the earth here in Texas. And so you guys are doing what we'll be sharing about today. One of the unique things about your church is that you have so many young people coming from all over the U.S. to come for flight training and for other different reasons. And you are investing in their lives, growing them up as disciples, and sending them out to the far corners of the earth. You guys have an awesome church here and an awesome opportunity. I see some of our Nigerian brothers here as well. You've got people coming from all over the world. And this is so cool. God has given you a unique opportunity, and we just want to encourage you in that. Let me just read some scripture for us, sort of as a foundation for us to begin. Reading from Acts 14 about Paul and Barnabas, if you want to turn to that, and we have it on the screen here as well. Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 21. Paul and Barnabas have gone on their first missionary journey. Paul just got beat up in Lystra. And then it says this, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And if we skip down to verse 27, Paul and Barnabas, after they finish this journey, then they go back to Antioch, which was the church that sent them out on this journey. And it says, "And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." Now, this is just an amazing set of verses, just encapsulating this new thing that God was doing among the Gentiles. When Paul and Barnabas went out, they shared the gospel from city to city. They formed people into little communities of faith. And then, even despite the challenges that they had, and Paul was stoned, he got up, he dusted the dirt off of himself, he went back into the city. And he went back to all those cities they'd been to, and it says they went and they strengthened the disciples. They'd strengthened their souls, encouraging them to continue in the faith. They went back, not just one time. Actually, if you look through the book of Acts, Paul himself is in these cities at least four times over the course of his life. And then he writes letters to them after that, even if he can't go and visit them. He's constantly following up these new believers to grow them up in Christ. And then he goes back to Antioch. He and Barnabas go back to Antioch, and they share this amazing new thing that God is doing in the world, that now the gospel has gone across from Jews to Gentiles, and it's moving into Asia. It's moving into Europe. And he's encouraging the believers there in Antioch, God is doing something new here. Let's come alongside this. Let's go out and let's be a part of this new movement that God is doing. Back in the very beginnings of the church as it spread out across Europe. Ramon and I want to be with you today, and I want to share with you today that God is doing some new things across the world today as well. There are some new movements that are spreading across Africa and actually spreading across the world right now that we want to rejoice with you and share with you what God is doing. The first movement that's happening is that there is a movement that we call an emerging missions movement, that countries, believers, churches that have for the last 100 years been receiving missionaries and hearing the gospel are now beginning to rise up and send out their own missionaries to other places around the world. So we have the Nigerian churches that have, for the last 20 years, have been sending missionaries out across Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. We have the Ethiopian Christians and the churches there that have begun in the last 5 or 6 years to send their own missionaries now to places like South Sudan, like Pakistan, India. Some of our good friends, Ethiopian friends now, have recently moved to China to be missionaries in China. God is doing this amazing movement now, sending Africans out to the world as missionaries. That's the first thing God's doing. The second thing is that as we go across Africa and as we spend time in the churches there, God is raising up a new movement of disciple-making across Africa. The churches of Africa are taking a look at themselves and saying, you know, over these 100 years, we've grown wide, but we haven't grown deep. And we haven't seen the life change in our people that we want to. We haven't impacted our communities like we want to. We want to do things differently. And so there's this movement of asking, how can we make biblical, radical, all-in disciples of Christ? And it is exciting to see these movements, but not just to learn about them. I think there are things that we can learn from them, that our African brothers and sisters and what God is doing among them right now can be a lesson to us and that we can learn from their example as well. And so those are some of the things that I want to share with you this morning. For those of you that may not know us well and maybe the first time that we've met, I just wanted to share just a little bit about our background. We moved to Ethiopia in 1991. I'm a veterinarian. Ramonda's a teacher. And we moved with two little bitty kids there and within 2 years had our third child there. Was born in Addis Ababa, and so our kids grew up in Ethiopia. We had the opportunity to work with a Muslim group of people in Western Ethiopia. We had a small veterinary clinic and a health clinic, and we shared the gospel with Muslim people. After that, God moved us into a time where we were involved in mission leadership and serving in our missionaries for a number of years, and then more recently, we moved back here to the U.S., planning to go back to Ethiopia, but I became sick with leukemia. And so God used that that illness to kind of make a shift in what we're doing now. So we're located here in the Houston area, and now are able to make trips back and forth, both to Ethiopia and now to a number of other African and South American countries as well. And so we're very thankful for that new opportunity. Went through leukemia treatment, and I'm in complete remission now, and so not expecting it to come back. But now God has opened up this new door for us that we're trying to go through. Just a little bit about our kids. Our oldest, Luke, just married last year, and so we're very happy about Emily, our new daughter-in-law. They're living in Austin. Our daughter is back home with us after graduating from A&M, and she's training as a bakery manager with HEB and loving that. And then our son, Tyler, is now a junior at Texas A&M studying landscape architecture. So we're really happy to see that God has given them a place to land here back in the U.S. So what have we been doing since moving back? One of the things that Joe mentioned is that we've had an opportunity now to come alongside pastors in Ethiopia to disciple them to be disciple makers. And I'll share a little bit more about that later. And so we've got a number of pastors across Ethiopia that we're working with. Also, Ramon and I teach a course in a school of missions for Ethiopians. And these are Ethiopian believers, pastors, evangelists that are training to go to other countries as missionaries. And so we teach two courses. We teach one that's called Missionary Living, which kind of helps them learn how to really be effective in another culture, how to raise their families in another culture, how to be a part of teams in another culture. And then God's given an opportunity for me to use my veterinary training in order to train Ethiopians to do basic animal health work with cattle and sheep and goats, and to come alongside farmers and to develop relationships with them by being able to help their animals and then to be able to share the gospel with them. And so we go and we teach several times a year in this School of Missions. So God's given us some exciting things to do from a base here in Houston. I just want to take a step back and share with you sort of the big picture of what's going on in Africa. Africa has 180 million evangelical Christians. It's the largest continent. I mean, it's the largest number of believers on a continent in the world. If you were to take the world map and you were to flatten it out and put your finger up underneath it and try to balance the world out in terms of numbers of evangelical Christians, your finger would be in Africa. That's the epicenter of the church now around the world. It's not America, it's not Europe, it's actually in Africa. And by many ways of looking at it, the churches in Africa are doing very well. They're very strong and in a number of different ways. You know, Africa as a country or as a continent is growing in terms of its economy. There's a growing middle class in Africa. The last of unreached people groups in sub-Saharan Africa are now being reached with the gospel. The African churches are very conservative in their beliefs, their doctrine. Now we have a number of U.S.-based denominations that are beginning to put themselves under the leadership of African bishops because it's the African leaders that have really kept the faith. They are the ones that have really stayed true to a biblical belief, where a lot of churches in Europe and in America have really become more liberal and have really all but rejected the scriptures. Africa has budding theologians and Christian writers. They have a number of growing theological schools to train leaders. Interestingly, the largest church in Europe is pastored by a Nigerian pastor in Kiev. And so God is doing tremendous things in the church in Africa, and they've grown tremendously. However, as the African church is honest with itself and peels back some of the layers of this growth that we see that maybe things inside aren't quite as healthy as we had hoped that they would be. And this is not necessarily a missionary perspective. This is a perspective of African church leaders themselves. In 2010, a group of African church leaders that from churches that relate to SIM, which is the mission organization that we're a part of, met together in Nigeria. And they were taking an honest look at themselves and saying, how are we really doing? We have 180 million believers, but really, how are we doing? And this is what their conclusion was. Few of our churches are intentionally discipling new believers. Many who make profession fall away. Those who call themselves Christian are often no different than unbelievers. Too many are involved in tribal or clan division. Too many are corrupt. Some are living in immorality. In times of distress, some of our members go back to witchcraft. Others are lured away from the truth, seeking the spectacular, or by a shallow gospel that promises wealth and prosperity, but denies suffering, persecution, and the way of the cross. At the same time, we are surrounded by powerful forces of Islam. HIV/AIDS is pressing in on us. Materialism is starting to suck the life out of the church. I've been doing some traveling across Africa this last year, and we're kind of seeing a common thing everywhere that I go. And this poster here sort of typifies that. This is a poster that was at a shopping mall in Zambia. And I don't know if you can read it from here. This is Rock Global Ministries in Zambia. And they're saying, come to our Friday night overnights where you can experience miracles galore. And so if you're having any challenge in your life, just come and you're guaranteed to get a miracle. In fact, a whole pocket full of miracles. And this is the message that's going across from what we call power preachers across Africa and is sweeping a number of the churches in Africa that if you will just come to our church, come to our healing service, we're going to cast out all your demons and we're going to make sure that you're healthy, wealthy, and hopefully wise. And many African, new African believers, many that are unbelievers are coming into churches like this and are being drawn away into a gospel of materialism, a gospel of health and wealth, a gospel that Jesus is basically here to help with all of your problems, instead of a gospel of redemption in Christ and growth through the challenges of being a disciple, a true disciple of Christ. And so these are some of the challenges that these leaders themselves are saying about that some of that their own churches are facing. And they go on to say that we have come to see that the root of many of our problems lies in the fact that our churches are not well discipled. It's a bit of a statement on us as missionaries as well, because our forefathers as missionaries, when they went to places like Africa, preached the gospel, helped people to come to faith in Christ, formed them into churches, helped them learn how to do church services and worship services, developed Bible schools and seminaries for formal theological training. But one of the things that we failed to do as missionaries over the decades was to help these new believers to learn how to disciple their own families and to disciple the young believers within their churches, to really come along beside them and to help them grow up personally in their walk with Christ. And so what we're seeing today across Africa is really a reflection on maybe how we as missionaries have gone about our work in missions. And so we're all trying to kind of rethink how we're doing things. And so these African church leaders came to some of my colleagues and said, will you help us get back to the basics of making disciples in our churches? Help us figure out in our local churches how we can grow up our people in faith in Christ. Some of you may have met my colleague that I work with, Isaias Ersabo from Ethiopia. We've been involved in a discipleship ministry together for a number of years. So these church leaders asked Isaias, and then our colleague from Jos, Nigeria, Reverend Sam Akeju, that's with the Equa Church in Jos, and has had a long discipling ministry over a long period of time, asked them to come along beside them, and then they drew us into this team as well. And so we were able to develop a ministry that we call Evangel Discipleship Coaching Ministry. We've got all these long names for all these ministries. And the ministries you guys have been involved with us is called Disciple Making Pastors Training. And I'll share a little bit about this. But Disciple Making Pastors Training, working with pastors in Ethiopia, has now spun off and is expanding out through these guys to other churches across Africa. So you guys are having an influence now through these guys to other churches all across the continent. As this ministry has started, what we try to do is to come alongside a small group of pastors and leaders from different denominations across Africa and give them training on what is disciple making. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? How do we go about following the example of Christ and making his own disciples? How do we follow that example in the local church? And we do all kinds of things. We have dramas and we have small group discussion with pastors and really trying to help them figure out for their own churches, how are we going to get back to the basics of making disciples. And then they select from among themselves one person who's going to be a coordinator and continue to work with their churches and church pastors. And then we come along beside them and we coach them, we give them more training, we go and visit them and encourage them as they try to encourage the churches in their country. One of the things that we also do is help them develop discipleship materials that they can use. You guys are having a video, Chip Ingram video, in your small groups. They don't have anything like that. And even if they did, it's like, that's good for you guys, but that doesn't work for us. And so to help them develop materials that they can disciple people that really is from their own cultural background so that they can be effective with their people. And then finally, one of the things that we've done recently, this past summer, we were in Ethiopia, and we brought these discipleship coordinators to Ethiopia so that they could see what God's been doing through the churches in Ethiopian discipleship, can learn from them, and then take some of these ideas back. And we had just a wonderful time with them this past summer for a couple of weeks with these guys from six different African countries and a South American country. Our South American guy couldn't speak a word of English, but we were translating between English and Spanish and Amharic language. And we just had a lot of fun together. And God's given us some really great guys to work with. And we're really thankful for how this ministry has begun to expand across Africa. Let me give you a story just that kind of illustrates what's going on. This was in Malawi. We were there doing some training with Evangel Discipleship Coaching. training pastors in discipleship, just talking about the importance of pulling people together into small groups to build relationships with them, to disciple them. And they said, you know, what we do in our church when somebody becomes a Christian, the first thing we do is baptize them, make sure they're good and dunked, and then we put them in the choir. And everybody likes to be in the choir. Malawians love to sing. And so that's sort of where we put Christians and expect them to grow. Often in African choirs, it becomes a place where all the youth like to come because you get to sing, you get to dance, you get to hang out with a bunch of, you know, nice people. And so the choirs in Africa are the youth ministry. I don't know how that would work here at Del Rio. If that was your youth ministry, I'm really happy to hear about some new youth leaders here, and that's fantastic. Might not work here, but that's the youth ministry. Well, there's this a girl that came to the choir, and she was a new believer, started getting involved in singing and joining them. But every time some kind of trial would come up in her life, or she would have an exam at school, they discovered that what she was doing was going out in the back fields behind her house and making sacrifices to Satan, to the spirits there, to help her with her exam. And that was what she understood of the Christian life. You go to church and you be in the choir, and then when you have real problems, you go back to the spirits, because those are the ones that can really help you with your problems. This is an example in Ethiopia, actually, of a little shrine where local people have been sacrificing. They put a little stick in the ground, put flags on it. Oftentimes they'll offer coffee as a libation to the spirits that are in this river right here, and then say a prayer to try to urge the spirits to help them with things. And this is a common practice, even within the churches in Malawi and across Africa. And so what would you do to try to encourage them or try to help them figure out what to do with this young lady? One of the things that we encourage them is that for people to grow as disciples of Christ, they need to be in what we call biblical community. They need to be connected with mature people who can come along beside them and take responsibility for them, get to know them, find out what's going on in their lives, the challenges that they're facing, the struggles that they're having, and to come along and then move them forward in a process of intentional discipleship, to teach them the scriptures, to teach them how to have a quiet time, how to develop a personal relationship with God. What does the Bible say about life and our problems? How to convert what we learn in the scriptures into real life, an intentional discipleship process. So that's what we're encouraging pastors to try to figure out how to do that within the context of their churches. Not to just dismantle the choir and say, let's not have choir anymore, because that's not working. But within the choir, to get this intentional discipleship process going. Let me share you a story about another choir. This choir is in Ethiopia, a youth choir. This youth choir was growing big, lots of young people coming. But every time they would get up and sing, all of the youth were, just really proud that they were choir members. And when they would sing, they would want everybody to be looking at them, and they would want to kind of stand in front of the person next to them and be the one that was, you know, waving the most and singing the loudest, because they hadn't really grown in Christ. They didn't really understand what it meant to be a true follower of Christ. And so for them also, being a Christian was all about being up in front of people in the church. The pastors that we've been working with there have begun discipling people in their churches, and one of the pastors began working with this choir. And again, instead of saying, you guys are terrible, don't do that, shame on you, let's stop having choir, let's go have some Bible studies, what he did was he just said, hey, when we have choir practice, could we sit down for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and let's just open the scriptures together. And let me share with you about, you know, what Christ says it means to be a true follower of Him. And let me also show you how to have a quiet time. In fact, why don't we all start having a few minutes that you set aside each day where you just open up the Bible and you pray and listen to what God is speaking to you and write it down in a journal. And we'll all get back together and we'll share what has God been teaching us in our lives as we've grown. And they started doing this. And over a period of a year, they began to discover that the young people in the choir were beginning to change. They're beginning to see God at work in their lives. They're beginning to hear God speak into their lives about their own attitudes and about their own approach to ministry. And they begin to see them become more humble and begin to serve one another. And then as they did that, the testimony of the choir grew. And they became a choir that ministered around in churches to other churches around the country and had a tremendous ministry that way, because the pastor was able to come along beside them and help them really walk through a process of growing as disciples. And so those kinds of things are what we're trying to do in Ethiopia. We've, over a period of the last 8 years, have been trying to come along beside pastors and really help them, disciple them to be disciple makers in their churches. We started out with about 25 pastors about 8 years ago, and slowly that's grown. And so just this year, we have about 2,000 pastors all across the country in about 60-something centers around the country. We meet with them over a two-year period, teaching them the scriptures, helping them really think deeply about how to disciple people in their churches. We give them ministry assignments to go back into their churches and start small groups, start little small discipleship ministries in their churches. And as a result, now those pastors are then discipling more than 20,000 other people in their churches, and then those people are also discipling third-generation people in their churches, and it kind of grows from there. So it's been really exciting to see in Ethiopia pastors really responding and taking disciple-making to their churches there. One of the things that I want to share with you, over the last several years as we've met with these pastors, one of their crying needs, every time we visit with them, they say, yeah, we really are growing, our families are growing in their walk with the Lord. We're experiencing change in our churches. People in our churches are growing, but we need some resources. We need some tools to help us as we prepare to teach and train other people. And most of the pastors can read, not all of them can read, but most of them can read. And so they've been asking for reference books that can help them in their study as they prepare for a message, as they prepare Bible studies for the different groups that they're teaching. And so your church, Del Rio Bible, you guys for the last number of, you've been helping with the pastor's training, but more recently now helping with these book sets. And so we have a set of about 6 books that we try to get in the hands of these pastors, train them how to use those books, give them assignments to go back and do some reading using those books, get used to using those resources. And then as they go on, then they've got something, some tools in their hands that they can use as they continue to disciple people in their churches. So we would just want to say a special thank you to you all for that regular giving that you guys have been doing. And we're still in the process of trying to raise funds to get up to 2,000 book sets. We're about a third of the way there. And a lot of that third of the way is because of you guys and what y'all have contributed. One book set is about $60, and the pastors also contribute to the cost of the books themselves. Let me just share real quickly, how do these pastors go about discipling people in their churches? I just want to share 7 real quick principles of disciple making. And these are principles that we see Jesus doing with his disciples. As we think about our own families, not just our church, but our own families, these are things that we can do with our own families to help raise our own children up as disciples. The first one is teaching. It's the bedrock of truth. We need to be teaching God's word to disciples. We need time with our kids every week where we're sitting down and really getting the truths of God's word into their lives. But it goes on from there. It's experience. Helping get those truths out into practical life. Talking about, well, how does this apply in real life? And going out and doing some things together. And this is some of the things that we do with pastors as well. The third thing is accountability. Without follow-up, people don't grow. We need accountability with our children. Discipline is a part of that, but it's not just discipline, it's loving accountability. Trying to figure out how much do our children really understand. We need accountability in the church as we try to raise up disciples as well. The next one is mentoring. That's just life sharing, getting to know one another, getting into each other's lives. I think that's a large part of what the small groups here is, to try to get people connected so they're rubbing shoulder to shoulder on and being a good influence towards one another. Modeling. with our kids. They need to be seeing in our lives what we're expecting them to do and to become. As fathers, we need to be modeling for our children, at not just at church, not just in the business place, but at home, what we're expecting for them. And so this is what we share with our pastors. You need to be with the people you're discipling, so that they going out with them and in the community and letting them see you model the Christian life for them. I mean, the multiplication. We're not really true disciples unless we're making disciples of others. And I think this is a big one even for families. We can focus on raising up our own children as disciples, but we don't realize that God gave us families to be a blessing to the whole earth. God gave us families to reflect His nature and the relationship we have with Him to other people around in our community. And so we have the opportunity to take our kids and as families to get engaged in our communities in some ways where we're reaching out to others with the gospel and multiplying what God's given us out to others. And then supplication. We use an acronym, TEAMS. It's the place where people grow, praying with and for disciples. So these are some of the things that we're really trying to pour into the pastors, and then the pastors then are pouring into the disciples that they're working with. Well, we set out to try to disciple pastors and to see them discipling others in their churches. What we didn't set out to do was plant churches. But actually, we found that that's what was happening. As we focused on really growing up these pastors and encouraging them and strengthening them, we found that they were beginning to reach out to other people. And these little small discipleship groups they were forming would put their books down and say, hey, these things are really great things for us that we're learning and growing in, but how can we share them with other people? And they began to share the gospel with others, and churches were started and planted out of that. And so mission then is the final part of this cycle, like Paul and Barnabas did, forming these biblical communities, going back and encouraging and strengthening the disciples. But then remember, the final step of that was for them to go back to Antioch and say, look, we have this tremendous opportunity now to get out into the world and take this gospel to those that haven't heard. Let me just share real quickly two stories. One, in northern Ethiopia, there's a group there called the Gumuz, unreached with the gospel, very, very primitive, hunter-gatherer kind of people, just sort of barely eking out an existence. And some missionaries moved into that area about 10 years ago, and a few people became believers. There's a small little growing church in this one village. Well, one of our good friends is there now, and Ramonda, when we go to Ethiopia back and forth, she always takes a trip up there to see her friend Angela. And Angela is working with an Ethiopian missionary called Askalich. And Angela and Askalich together have been working with this small group of women and these two particular women here to help them grow up in their faith in Christ. And over this last year, as they've grown in their faith, they begin to say, well, what about those women that are in this next village beyond us? Can we take the gospel to them? Can we begin to teach them the things that you've been teaching us? And so they began to do that. And just last March, when we were in Ethiopia, the first ever women's conference in this group of people happened. And these ladies said, we want to invite these neighbor ladies from this other neighboring village. And they brought them in, and they had about 3 days together. There were ladies and babies everywhere. And they taught them the scriptures for three days and are now beginning to see new disciples raised up in this next community as well. The fruit of disciple making in the life of a person is that they begin to bear fruit in the lives of other people. One of our great joys as we've taught in the School of Missions, training Ethiopians to become missionaries to other countries, is to hear reports back from some of our students that we've trained. This is a good friend called named Amdihun. His wife Martha went to Pakistan last year, and they're working with a group of people called the Marwari people. They're a Hindu low-caste group of people, itinerant farmers, very, very poor. But can you imagine the impact of an Ethiopian missionary coming into this very poor Hindu community and sharing the gospel with them? And they are just open to the gospel and open to Christ. And many of them are becoming believers in Christ right now through the ministry of these Ethiopian missionaries. And Amdihun and I were emailing each other just this week And he was saying, you know, they're coming to Christ, they're open to receiving Christ, but they're just struggling to grow. They're struggling to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ and to leave behind the old things and to walk in this new life. And we don't know what we're going to do to try to help disciple them. And he was just kind of sharing his heart. And I wrote back to him and said, hey, we've got this little ministry that kind of comes along churches and we do some training, discipleship. What do you think? And I mean, just immediately got an email back and said, please come to Pakistan and we can work together with you and we can disciple these leaders of the Madhawati churches and move them forward in discipling their own people. So, I mean, we're just the thrill of thinking about now that there are, you know, Ethiopian and Nigerian and Kenyan missionaries all across the world that are now reaching into places that you or I could never be, and God is using them in a powerful way. But we have the opportunity, and through the partnership that we have together with you guys, we have the opportunity to come alongside these new missionaries and to see them starting this whole cycle over again of making disciples in the nations. Let me just leave you with a few thoughts. Just a few thoughts as we think about what God is doing in these two great movements that are going on in the world, missions and discipleship. It's all about people. It's all about reaching the hearts of people with the gospel and then helping people grow up in that faith. And we're just tremendously excited about this building that you guys have here, but we are even more excited about the hearts of the people that are in this church here in Del Rio Bible Church, the hearts of your families, the hearts of your kids that you have here. And let us not be like the churches, the African churches that sort of took a look at themselves and said, you know, we're looking great on the outside, but we're still not growing on the inside. And my encouragement to all of us is that, you know, starting with our children at home, yeah, we want children that are obedient. We want children that know all the truths of the Bible. But are we really getting a hold of their hearts? Are their hearts really being turned towards Christ? And that they're really falling in love with Christ and desire to give their whole selves to Christ? As a church, are we reaching deeply into the hearts of people to help them grow up in Christ? And that's the challenge for all of us, is to figure out how to do that. I would also just encourage you all, I mean, there are so many good testimonies that we hear about you all, the wonderful people in your church that are reaching out already, whether it's on the base or in the town, to neighbors around and people around in your community and drawing them in. And I would just encourage you to keep encouraging those people, coming alongside the disciple makers, helping people in your church become effective disciple makers and encouraging them in that. I would encourage us as husbands, guys, our wives are with our kids so much of the time. They bear a lot of the weight of helping our kids grow up as disciples. What can we do as husbands to encourage the disciple makers in our household, our wives? Wives are, the husbands have the ultimate responsibility to make disciples. What can wives do to encourage their husbands in the role as disciple maker in the family? And then just our third encouragement is keep the process going. Let's keep this process going. God is doing some great things in the world. Let's keep this going with your involvement in Africa and the what God's doing through those churches to reach the world. But also in your own community, this process of building little small communities of people that care for one another, that have an intentional process of growing people up and come along beside them, helping them grow in faith, but then keep moving out, not just enjoying the fellowship of that group, but keep moving out into these new opportunities that God's given you in this community all around here, all around the lake, the opportunities that you have on the base, to keep moving out in mission. To take this message of Christ to the community around you. That's a plug for small groups. Small groups is a great place to begin this process of building biblical community. And Steve and Joe are working to really try to build this process of growth into that. So I would just encourage you, if you're not plugged into some kind of smaller group of people that you're growing with, to get plugged in and to keep on growing. We want to say thank you for your encouragement, your prayers, your support, and just for this opportunity to get to meet you and to be with you all today. Thanks very much.